He's got the PF3 of these and all.
Honey, it's Kentucky. There's nothing hip there. I promise you that.
Point.
Women will be large. Everyone will smoke.
By and large, the women are by and large.
That they are. Nip.
Yes, it is.
Skyline chili. Well, Skyline chili sucks. I mean, the truth is that it really sucks.
Did we do this? I call it Scalini. No. Gotta have a little Scalini.
Your boy Nathan had to go back to Wisconsin for a wedding, and I go, you're gonna hate it. Let me just tell you that you're gonna go, this state should be dropped from the union. And he comes back, he goes, all right, what the fuck? He's like, women are huge. Big bowls of mayonnaise on every table. They have to have mayonnaise with everything. Cheese curds with this, cheese curds with that.
Cheese curds?
Cheese curds.
What is a cheese little curd?
You forget how attractive people are around here. I'm saying,
oh my God, you just...
I knew we were. Hey, what's a cheese curd?
It's like a little cheese...
About a buck and a half.
...rolly thing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Aren't they... Is that
what... saving up these,
I thought they were from Iraq.
Cheese curds?
Yeah.
Curds?
No. Curds. No. What is it? A cheese ball or a cheese puff?
It's like a little rolly cheese thing that she eats.
Is it fried?
Byproduct of cheese. No, but they put mayonnaise on them.
Oh, of course.
You know what else you're a big fan of? I remember. What is that horrible thing... at the state fair.
Funnel cake.
Yeah, funnel cake.
God, I love those.
Oh. Yeah,
there's
funnel
nothing
cake.
Like some deep fried dough with powdered sugar on it.
It does. Now, you know all the crap they have at the state fair, right? The deep fried Twinkies and deep fried everything now. They had the list last year of the most fattening things at the fair. Above all of those, the funnel cake.
Oh, easily.
Number one.
Yeah. And you put it on a plate, and
like
you need 3, like four
calories.
Plates because the grease goes right through.
You'll eat shit in a funnel cake that you would ordinarily not step in.
Is that right?
Like the little cube of fat from a pork and bean thing, they'll put that in a funnel cake.
Oh, my
God.
Not really. Not really. But, I mean, if they did, you'd go,
really?
Well, is that a funnel cake? I'll eat it. Powdered sugar.
Must be good.
Spam.
Who was the first person who ever got the bright idea to deep fry a Twinkie?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's a state fair.
Did one just fall in by mistake on, I wonder what this tastes like, or did somebody plan that out?
I bet someone bought one of those fryers off the, you know, the George Foreman commercials, and they just were sitting in their kitchen going, throw that in.
I have the George Foreman.
That can't be good, Ken.
Which, by the way, Hulk Hogan has ripped that off, and there's a Hulk Hogan fryer now, like a George Foreman thing.
Yeah. Gross.
I got a spam email the other day with, I thought it was a joke, and it's Hulk Hogan's got his knockoff.
Don't you think everyone who needs one of those kind of grills has bought one now?
I would think so.
I think if it sounds appealing to you, you probably shouldn't eat anything that comes out of it.
It's true.
I will give him credit. It works, though.
But the Foreman thing's great.
Yeah, the Foreman grill is great.
$10 million.
It really is. It drips off the grease.
It's a great deal. That was a good deal. Yeah. Now, he got super lucky because I'm sure he would have signed on to
anything.
Gorgeous piece of shit.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then...
Mannequin muffler.
Shit sandwich grill.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he thought
that's
he was
right.
just getting, you know, whatever he got paid for the first commercial.
Right.
Next thing you know, I mean, it's fantastic.
Holy shit, it actually works.
What's the deal with him naming all of his kids George? Like 8 kids? Because
that's a lack
ignorant.
Of imagination.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I mean, come on. You're...
But it's not funny. It's
what
not...
about Jury would have been a good one?
Jury Foreman.
Or job site.
Yeah, you could have given him a lot of them.
I mean, come on.
I like that.
It's like when Dan and Tina were having the first kid, I emailed him a bunch of different ideas.
What'd you have?
Bob.
Yeah, Bob. Why not Bob?
Marley,
do you
sure.
think Bob was eliminated right off the bat? He couldn't
probably.
Do it, yeah.
Harley Marley. Farley Marley.
Holy Marley.
we had like
Gnarly.
So many ridiculous.
Gnarly Marley.
Gnarly Marley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet.
That's good. That's all good.
Someone ordered quesadillas. I love that.
Oh, really?
I love when food comes into the Cotton Club.
We're down here at Marley's, serving us food now, downtown.
Oh, I love that.
Hey, have you been to the Marley's out in Goodyear?
I have not, but I
Oh, my God, that place is hopping.
Have you been to Goodyear?
It's fantastic. Come on now.
I go to the Wigwam whenever possible.
Wow.
Yeah, great. So we appreciate everything at Marley's. Please check out
I
Marley's.
Hear it's rocking out there.
It is, yeah. And they open in the middle of the summer, which is...
They got the giant outdoor screen. Bold.
Fantastic.
I'm going to snuggle a little closer to Mark because this is a little short.
A little short.
What's a...
the cord.
Get into that. This is not TV.
That's right.
Wow. Okay, we have a few things to go over. First, catching up. Mark hasn't been with us, so where were you?
The hell you been?
You were doing stand-up where?
I was in Hartford, Connecticut 2 weeks ago.
Nice.
And then I had a gig last Monday night in outside of Albuquerque.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's all right.
It was for the...
they
love me.
Turkey.
It was for 400... it was actually a beautiful Hyatt out in the Tamaya Resort or something.
Okay,
It's a big fancy... It was the Laborers International Union of North America.
Wow. Oh, I was in that union.
Were you really?
I'm a former labor union member.
I was,
wow.
too. That's,
yeah, I was.
Remember, I told the stories about how I used to hide in the cement truck. Sleep.
Yeah, that was your elevator operator story.
I did that. I had to join the operators union separate to push the up and down button on the elevator, the construction elevator. But to be a laborer, I had to join the laborers union. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that was...
Now, what year was that?
Out of high, I graduated in 72. So 72, 70... one and 74, something like that.
See, they talk a lot of crap about Arizona at this thing because of the right to work.
Oh, yeah.
They're all pissed. And when I found out I was from Arizona, there were like three Arizonans, mainly California, New Mexico, even Hawaiian, but they were like
pissed. I met some very interesting people in the labor union, let's put it that way. Right out of high school from Mesa. We were building a the DoubleTree Inn at it was a DoubleTree at the time at the Third Avenue in Osborne across from Park Central. It's had many iterations since, but yes, we had a couple of real interesting characters that I hung out with who were from Kentucky, brothers, and
Daryl and Daryl.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they like he tried to tell me, have you ever had a fly walk you off? This is the most memorable thing I remember. I can't really tell you that on, I don't think, even on here.
I think you can.
No, you can't. Okay. No, it's really disgusting.
I'll walk you off.
Because then you say no.
Well, I said no, of course.
No, of course, I've never had it.
Oh, no, I haven't. I don't even know what you're talking about. You've never done that. I can't believe that. What the hell's wrong with you, boy? And I'm like, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, here's what you do. I did it last night. It was great. You get in a bathtub and you get nice warm water and get some suds.
Oh, Jesus.
And then just
bathtub.
You know, get yourself worked up. You know.
Wow.
And
what does that mean?
So the head's just sticking out of the water.
No.
Then you take your fly and you pull his wings off and stick it right there on the head. And he walks around and around, and pretty soon, boom, you just blow him right up on the ceiling. It's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I just stood there and went,
wow.
What?
That's the abbreviation for KY.
That was his deal. He was dead serious.
Wow.
And you know, he could have been pulling my leg, but I don't think so. I think he actually did that. He seemed like his name was Rocky, by the way.
Did it work?
Huh? I know.
Okay.
No, I didn't try it.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Did he start in Deliverance, too, or something?
I want to know, in this state, how are you supposed to get the fly's wings off?
I didn't need the details of all that, you know.
I would have asked.
Did they give you a hard time when they found out you're going to college? Because they did me there. Hey, here comes college, boy. So I
3 years in a row,
the next year, I didn't tell them I was going to college.
Good move.
Because a whole new group of guys, they asked where I was from. I said, I just got out. Big house. It was in Leavenworth.
Good move.
Why?
They were fascinated with college.
I can't tell you. Oh, yeah.
They thought it was just nonstop.
They thought it was in the 70s, right? So they thought it was like a orgy. Nonstop orgy over there, you know. And because every single person was like, yeah, you go to college? And then they'd have some sex question. Not like, you know, what are your classes, what's your major, any of
that. You're getting a lot?
And then...
Yeah.
Yeah, then I guess there's one guy. I don't know if it's
just.
Never been fly walk you off.
No, there was this one dude, and he went to our church in Mesa, and he was, you know, I won't kind of describe him anymore. But he, so I grew up, you know, with him. You know, he's my parents' age and everything. So I figured, well, this guy, and he didn't talk very much anyway. And one of those, you know, guys said five words all summer. We get toward the end of the summer, and he walks over. How are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, fine. How are you, Mr. Whatever? And he goes, you go to that college, don't you? And I went, oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Please. But I figured, well, this guy, I mean, you know, come on.
He probably does want to know about your classes.
If you'd like to know, you know, what's your major and all that. And I said, yeah, I do. You know, I go to Oxnard College over. He goes, a lot of pussy over there. Oh, that's it. What's wrong with these guys?
Some things never change.
Unbelievable. But did you find that? They were like obsessed with it.
I swear to God, told them the first summer that I was going to college because then they were just nonstop. You know, if I did something wrong, look at old college boy. Exactly. Can't figure out what difference between drywall mud and drywall mix. That's because I got other things on my mind.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
We had a guy named Blackie. No, what? He wasn't. It was a guy yes. named Blackie.
Yeah.
Who every Friday got his check and had to have the foreman witness his X-ing the check because he couldn't sign his name.
Oh.
Did he say "ot"?
Yeah. No, it's a true story. He would sit there and in front of the other guy, he would X it. Then the other guy would.
Wow.
That's too big.
Wow, weird.
They were hard workers. And
yeah. Great,
and I actually really liked most of them, but it was unusual.
Did you ever see a guy? It was actually the reason I made it through college. You ever see a guy working so hard and he's beat up and he just looks gnarled and you find out he's like 29?
Exactly. Yeah.
What?
Well, labor's union, that's a good example. That is a rough go because you get older. I mean, by older, I mean you get to be 40.
Oh.
And you're spent. I mean, yeah. Your back hurts because those guys are working hard. Not me. But, I mean, I thought I was working hard.
Yeah, up, down.
No, I told you, at the end of every summer, 3 summers, I'd start out digging ditches, doing the cement, all that. By the end of the summer, it's so funny, 3 years in a row, I didn't think it was possible. I think it hasn't been replicated. Sweeping.
Good sweeper.
Sweeping. And they'd like, you know, one thing, if it was like the 10-story building over at 3rd Avenue and Osborne, or 2nd Avenue and Osborne, it's another one when there was like, just a little patch of cement over there, and I'm sweeping it like, you know, like the kid
non-stop.
in Last Picture Show, you know, is a little slow. He swept all the time. That was me. Yes.
You know what I realized when I was thinking back, because I was trying to draw on material that would make these yeah. people laugh.
Yeah.
I was thinking back to the good old days of doing what I did.
That's awesome.
Realize how we've changed. What used to be acceptable behavior 30 years ago, now you can't do. It used to be we would bust our ass, and at Friday, 3 o'clock, or whenever we stopped, mm-hmm. meet out at the foreman's pickup truck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Drink
beer, and it was just like that was just the
sure.
deal. And, you know, it was almost, if you weren't pounding beers with him, then mm-hmm. there was something wrong with you.
I wasn't.
But now, you know, that's somebody's business going up in flames.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
absolutely.
It's just, like when you drive by, let's just randomly say, yeah. like a... Bourbon Street or Highlight or Band-Aids.
Band-Aids.
You see like an air conditioning truck out there.
Yes.
Yep. You just go, there's somebody's small business
yeah, that's
in there
true.
Drinking. You know, if the owner knew where it,
right.
what his employee was getting hammered and going to wrap that up.
Is there drinking in those places?
I go for the music.
I thought there was a buffet.
I go for the music.
The conversation.
And the $12 beers.
Yeah. $12.
Because you can't hear Whitesnake on regular radio.
Poison.
Oh my God! I'll tell you another thing. They did. I don't. You were probably a good boy and got there on time. You couldn't be late or you get fired. I mean, that was one thing. So I was on time, but I had to drive from Mesa to Phoenix on it. And these guys started at 5 or 4:30 sometimes. Like, oh, let me do the math. When do I have to go to bed? And it isn't like you didn't work all day out in the sun. You know, it's
right.
190 out there. So I'm like, oh, good. I'll have to go to bed at 8.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Just right. go right from no. partying.
It's a nightmare. Okay,
right.
The whole thing is a nightmare. Anyway, so I certainly didn't want to be early. Well, they were all early because they wanted to drink coffee and all this sort of stuff. I'm driving over here, and I had it down to – really, it was an art. Never was I more – in a summer – more than 1 minute early.
That's wasted sleep time.
Why?
Yeah.
And when I drove up, every time I'd get out of the car, grab my hard hat, and you'd see all these guys sitting there, and they go, whoop. Time to go to work every day.
Must be 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I was the clock. They didn't have to look. Time to go to work.
And what's amazing is you were making that drive before there were freeways here in the valley.
Yeah, I know.
You were doing surface streets coming here from Mesa.
Yeah, university all the way up. It's not good.
Wow.
Yeah, that was crazy. Okay, we're going off on these stories, but since you went and met with them, my worst day, this is a classic. Well, and the other thing is I had these, you know, I have to wear these work shoes that are just atrocious. They're like Herman Munster boots.
Steel-toed boots.
Steel-toe, terrible. Again, literally, you know how hot it is, obviously, in the summer. Just killing me, right? I hated those things. The second I got in the car, because I'm like a flip-flop guy, and I do not need the Herman Munster specials. As soon as I would get in the car, I would take my socks and shoes off, you know, to drive home. So I do that. And then this one particular day, they had mud all over them or something, so I hosed them off and everything and set them over. And then next morning, of course, it's 3:45 or whatever, and I'm hopping in the car for the 4:30 start. As I'm driving in, and they're starting to go, oop, time to go to work, I look down.
Flip-flops.
No shoes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'd left them at home.
Oh, shit.
Now, what do you do at that point? Now, of course, anyone in their right friggin' mind...
Call in sick.
do something like that, or just say, you know, I got to go back, something. No, I didn't. I remember him in the tool shed, trailer. There are these rubber shoes that go over your work boots when you're in cement, you know, pouring cement. And I thought, I could pull that off because I'll have my Levi's down over them. And who's going to notice? It's like that may be the worst idea I ever had in my life.
Would you drop something on your foot?
No, I had them. One rubber. I mean, so they're real thin.
Yeah.
Take that 190 and times it by two.
My God.
The inside there, my feet were on fire, right? Okay, this lasted about an hour. And first guy notices it, of course, Rocky, you know.
Woods.
We ain't pouring, Woods. We ain't pouring no fucking cement today. Get those off your feet. God damn it. I'm like, don't worry about it. And I... Every guy, all day long, this keeps going on. And so then, I mean, what the hell are you doing? Never mind, don't worry about it. You're fucked up. Something's wrong with you. Who'd wear those out here? Yeah, on and on and on. And then the foreman comes over, nice guy, and goes, hey, what's the story here? And so I made up the story that, well, my car broke down. I did park. I parked like a block away and walked up in these stupid things. And, he said, so, you know, my shoes are over there, and I can't get them. I'll just get them after work, you know. We'll be done in 2 or 3 hours. Now you can't do that. You're going to ruin your feet. I'll take you over there right now. No, really. Don't worry about it.
Busted.
No, I'll take you right now. Yeah, you can't do this. It's not right. You can't do it. Anyway, it was a nightmare. But I did wear them for 8 hours.
Nice.
And limped home. What a dork.
Blistered up.
Think about it, though. Who in their right mind would show up at a construction site to work 8 hours with no shoes? It's like you can't even tell anyone you did that.
No, you just did.
Yeah.
This could be good for business, Grant. We should hire Grant Woods. He sounds like a sharp guy.
Oh, yeah.
Sharp tool.
Let's do it barefoot. He's so bad.
And I can see yourself getting injured. Can you imagine the lawsuit with OSHA?
Oh, jeez. It was a nightmare. So, you know, so were they a good crowd?
Yeah, a great crowd. They had spouses with them, and so it was fun. And I did like an hour. They said, I always tell them between 45 minutes and an hour. Mm-hmm. That way I give myself an out. If they suck, I do the old, oh, wow, I'm contractually
Well, they only done. Gave wow, us 45 yeah. minutes.
Yeah. Right. So, oh, outdoors around a pool.
Oh, I hate that.
And
how was the sound?
They're actually surprisingly good. And I stood in the little peninsula, so I was surrounded. I said, it's the first time I'm doing this I've ever had a moat around separated by the deep end from the people. And it was hot at the time they were supposed to have their buffet before me, and so they kicked everything back an hour. Mm. So I got out there. It was a beautiful night. The Sandia, I think, mountains in the background. It was gorgeous. They loved it. I did like an hour 20. I would have done
that's
longer.
That's a long time. That's
I would have done longer, but they had really good security and people were able to get out. And no, it was great. And so they loved it, and everybody was happy, and the check cleared, and nobody got hurt.
Beautiful.
Great.
Okay, I read this thing. I was over in L.A. for a few days this last week, and in the L.A. Weekly, they had a good article. It was they let guys write their own. It was big, and they wrote maybe a couple hundred words, and maybe eight people wrote it. And it was some comedians and actors, and it was, what is your worst moment in showbiz? I mean, just give us some ideas of where it really went bad. So I'll tell you two quick ones. One, I really won't go into all the details, but as far as how it totally bombed for, one was Elaine Boozler. Do you know her?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, she finally had her big moment where, you know, back in the day when she was trying to break in, it was all about the Tonight Show guys coming to the Improv or wherever.
Jim McCauley.
Yeah,
right.
And she finally, it was her night. They were coming to see her. You needed 5 minutes of clean material. And you know, if you got on Carson, that was, you know. Then
huge.
That was
the
huge,
next
yeah.
thing is... you're going to be booked, you know, around the country.
Yeah.
You might get a sitcom deal. You might get the, you know, that was the deal. So here was her moment. And she said you wanted to follow someone who was also clean, 5 minutes clean, but hopefully not that good, you know, compared
right.
to you. And she has her stuff. She's ready. Everybody's out. They're out there. You could see them out there. Her agents, here we go. And she said, at the last second, in comes whoever owns the place and says, hey, Robin just dropped by. He's going to do 15 minutes.
Oh, God.
And it was Robin Williams said he did 30, and it was all cock, suck, fuck, you know, all this stuff. Killed him. The audience was absolutely exhausted, loved it. Now she's supposed to do 5 minutes.
Hi, I'm a Girl Scout.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, shit.
Exactly. And she went up and started it. It was like, you know, is this on one of those things?
Oh, my
and
God.
Then so she threw in just a real zinger, F-bomb, you know, and got the house back. And the three guys stood up and walked out.
Lost Carson, but got the house.
1 year before she got another crack.
Wow.
At that. But that's not my favorite. My favorite one was this guy. I don't even know who this guy is, but I think he's a comedian too. But get this, his agent, he's there, he works, he's taking all these classes, he gets an agent, he's trying to act, write, do some stand-up, do all this sort of stuff. And finally, he's going to do his first audition for some whatever, sitcom or something. And so his agent sends him out, and he knows where to go, and he described the whole place and everything. And he said he didn't really know. He said, well, you know, I don't know what I'm reading for, what part. And he goes, don't worry about it. Just show up. They're going to give you the sides there. I don't have the sides now. And so he walks in, and there's a bunch of people there, and he walks up, and there's some lady sitting there. And he goes, I'm so-and-so, and I'm here. And she goes, oh, yeah, you're right here. And here, let me get your sides. And he goes, well, what part am I reading for anyway? She goes, oh, let me look. Unattractive male.
Oh,
oh
ouch.
Is that great?
Wow.
He was reading for unattractive male. He said he was done. It was over. He couldn't even go on. He's like,
wow.
That's terrible.
Are you kidding me? And my agent sent me over for this. The agent read unattractive male.
I know the guy.
I got the perfect guy.
I got the guy.
Oh, he's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like,
that's fat girl. Call Carrie. Yeah.
Like
do
my
it.
Impression of, here's Ned Beatty reading for his part in Deliverance. Hey, there's no page 47. Nah, don't worry about it, Ned. No, we'll put that in later.
Yeah.
But it's not. Yeah, it's not.
You drop him, and that doesn't go on. Squeal like I don't know. Where is the rest of this? So you have any of those?
A couple of them came to mind, just despite the therapy. One was a corporate gig. It was only like 3 years ago, and I was in Orlando doing a thing for the Avionics Electronics Institute or something like that. It's all these people that build. Like I met the guy that designed the instrument, the altimeter or whatever, that when you start getting down too low, it beeps and all that.
Pull up.
Yeah,
right,
these are all
yeah,
the cool uh-huh. guys that do all this really mm-hmm. groovy stuff. And it's been around for like 50 years. And the guys introduced me. I always have a fun little quick intro that breaks the ice, and this is who, and he reads all the way through, and he gets the laugh where he's supposed to, and I'm getting ready to take the stage, and he says, oh, but first,
nah.
What do you say, everybody? Let's raise a glass and toast to Earl. This is the guy that founded the thing that just passed away from cancer. His wife's in the crowd.
Oh, my God.
Without Earl, we never would have had this. He's enriched all of our lives. And
everyone
she's
can
crying.
Stand up and say a few words about Earl right now.
And I'm literally 10 feet away going, what the fuck?
Yeah, killing it.
And you can hear
it. Oh, my God.
Anyway, Mark Gordis.
Hey,
oh, boy, thanks. But the worst one ever was back in my hometown. I was in Kansas City like 10 years ago, and I'm on stage, and everything's going great. I got family, high school friends, and all of a sudden I look down at this table about 10 feet off the stage. Really cute Barbie and Ken kind of couple. And in front of their plate, there's this pair of golf glove, weightlifting glove kind of things, and I'm just kind of catching it.
Oh,
it's
God.
Bugging the shit out of me. Well, you're smarter than me if you see where this is going. And it's bugging the crap out of me. I can't figure out why. So I kind of call him on it. And I go, hey, what's that? You know, and I won't let it go. And I do a couple more jokes, and then I go back to.
Dog with a bone. You can't.
Yeah, I can't leave
it. No, you can't.
Well, now it's
know
just,
better.
It's just bugging the shit out of me that I don't know what it is. So finally, at some point, I just call. And she leans forward and says, or did he lean forward? It was about her. Whoever they didn't belong to. Mm-hmm. I think he leans forward and says, they're for her hands so she doesn't get blisters on
when
her wheelchair.
When she pushes her wheelchair.
And she had one of these really cool, groovy new wheelchairs where the wheels are only like this big and they roll right up underneath the table. So I couldn't tell that she was in a wheelchair. Well, I just spent 20 minutes
razzing the hell out of her.
Yeah. Why could you have these little things? Why'd you just lift weights? And so that was quite a...
God. I don't Should know. I tell him the... You probably remember this. It's Sanagua High School. My complete worst moment in public speaking was... you were there.
I remember.
Yeah, okay. We used to go. We did these things where we would play basketball against the coaches at the high school or the
teachers
or the team or whomever, you know, whoever they put together. And we'd go out, and the whole student body would show up, and then our little team from the Attorney General's office, we would play them. And at halftime, I would present them a check to fight, anti-drugs, you know. And I give them a little talk, all right? And then we'd finish the game, and sometimes we'd visit a class or whatever. Okay, so it was a really cool deal. And we did this maybe literally probably 40 to 50 times, okay, over the course. And everybody, it was great, especially rural. It was a lot of fun. So, well, why we ask about the sound. The thing I hate the worst in public speaking is if the sound is bad. I don't care if you're Martin Luther King. You got a bad sound system, it ain't going to work, right?
He has a what?
He has a ream?
Yeah. What?
Right. What the hell is he talking about?
It doesn't work.
No.
You got to have decent sound, right? Okay.
Talking
so,
about papers?
These are all in high school gyms, okay? Now, so by definition, you're almost always going to have bad sound. Okay, throw into that, you've got all the whole high school.
500 jackasses.
Right? Yeah, and... They're not that interested in hearing you talk, you know, so there's going to be a few all the time. Well, so, you know, most of them were fine, but every now and then you'd hear some kid would be talking or, you know, yell something, whatever. And so part of my little spiel always was I would always say, look, here's the deal. We're out here because we believe in you kids, and we're on your side. We want to help you. We want you to do great in life. But here's the thing, just so you know, that this comes from drug dealers, because that's what we do. We prosecute drug dealers, and when we do, we take away everything they have. We take their cars, we take their houses, we take all their money, we take everything. And then we put them in prison for as long as we can. That's just the way it is. And then if some kid's lipping off or something, then I would turn around and say, you know, like that guy over there. Probably someone like him will have to come back and prosecute. And you know what? Won't bother me a bit. I could care less, right?
I see so That's many ways do, for this
right?
to go bad.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
you have no idea.
But I did this for years. I mean, I did it for years and years and years.
Got lucky.
The last one, the last high school I did at was Sanagua in Flagstaff. So we're out there. I'm doing my spiel, you know, and I get right to the main part. And, you know, and we take away all their stuff. And, you know, so it's you really don't want to see. We seem like nice guys, but you don't want to see us in court. Because, you know, we will throw your ass in prison. That will be our job. I'll be happy to do it. I'll do it myself. And I hear this yelling over there in the front, over in the corner. And I turned around, and you can see the kid who's doing it. And I said, like this guy right here.
Okay.
Probably be one of them, you know, that I probably do.
Sure.
Blah, blah, blah. We go on, right? No problem. We finish the game, and it always gets a reaction from the crowd. The crowd's always like, whoa, hey, you know. In this particular case, they all went, whoa, wow, what a hard ass, you know. Great. We go. We have a great game. Everybody's psyched. Walk in. I'm going to talk to the government class or whatever, and I'm talking to them. Hi, good to see you, you know. Thanks for letting us come. And I look down because I hear,
oh, no.
Yeah. Kid's retarded.
Got the kid from the short bus.
You got Corky.
The kid.
You got Corky the drug dealer.
And the more I thought about it, I literally wanted to kill myself. Think the attorney general in front of the whole school went, yeah, like that.
Like that jackass.
I like to throw him in prison. Oh, my God. I mean, it's like. That
Lucky we don't execute
moment.
Kids
that
like
didn't
you.
Didn't happen.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was like, I was gone that whole class because I kept looking over at that kid and went, should I say something? Like, I'm really sorry. I don't even know how we handled it.
Short bus. No.
It was ridiculous.
Beat cheeks. Made a rapid exit.
I think we
okay,
ran.
Okay, why don't you guys wrap this one up? I'm going to go
wow.
give it a check.
I think
Holy
we ran.
Shit.
Get a head start back to
Can
Phoenix.
Let's go to Bun Huggers.
The teachers had to think, What oh, an yeah. asshole. You know, hard ass is one thing, but...
But yeah, today's age, I mean, that would have been on YouTube in a minute. You true. Would have been a national,
look at
national
this guy.
Disgrace.
Yeah, thank God.
Look at this guy, really. That's hilarious.
You know, anyway. If you think back how lucky we are, like people always go, man, when you were in college, you didn't have computers. I go, yeah, but we didn't know about DNA either. So I think it was a good wash.
You don't have cell phone pictures and video of everything you did.
Yeah. Mark and I were in the wheelhouse years. We were post-pill, pre-AIDS.
Nice. Yes, that's a glory years.
Wow. Yeah, like those that. Are good times.
Wow. That's good times.
Oh, wow, I've never heard of thought of it, thought
you
of it that
ever
way.
Thought of it that way? Yeah, that was just a little slot in time and hit it.
But what's going to be interesting is
so to speak,
with today's generation God, that has been living with YouTube and Twitter and all this other stuff, you know, 20 years down the road, when they become active, productive members of society or running for office or something, can you imagine the presidential campaigns?
Yes,
when this person
you.
Was 21
Austin
years old.
Woods over there. I've told him that 100 times.
Oh, it's protected.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
If it's on the internet, somebody
Thank
can find
you,
it.
Exactly.
It's out there somewhere.
Well, look at the people you think you're friends with. In your
oh, yeah.
Out. Look at Michael Phelps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily, he was able to, you know, when you've got 9 gold medals hanging around your neck, people are going to give
that
you a chance.
That poor guy.
Right.
Right.
They are, really.
But Matt Leinart had the same thing. He goes to the
right.
beer pong party.
Right.
It's like, ooh, I was hanging out with Matt Leinart. Look at this. I mean,
right.
it's out
Charles.
There.
Yeah.
You know, Charles, those pictures are up. Within hours.
Oh, yeah. The bartender.
Same guys he bought drinks for.
Yep.
The bartender. Right. And you can see, what was the tip on there? $300?
$300.
Obviously, the bartender turned it in or somebody did.
Right.
Okay, I got a question for you two in particular, Carrie and Steve. Don Hewitt passed away this week, and that guy was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing character and really had a huge impact on the news business, the innovations that he mm-hmm. came up with. He really turned the whole thing around. And, of course, 60 Minutes, one of the all-time greats.
Yeah.
And the idea that he started 60 Minutes so long ago, and it's still
I know,
41
that's
years
totally
ago, the best
relevant.
Thing on television.
It
I
is
think.
The best produced show on network mm-hmm. television,
always
for
good,
sure. Always
fantastic.
Good.
They did a very nice tribute to Don last night.
Oh, did they?
The whole show was dedicated.
I have it, TiVo'd. I have to go watch it.
Yeah, the whole show was dedicated. And you can probably watch it online. But yeah, Don Hewitt.
He's dead, right?
People don't realize. Yeah. I mean, he came up with the idea for cue cards for the network
right,
news
right.
anchors.
The presidential debate televised, which changed, I mean, the
it
whole
did.
Political scene.
I did see those
sure.
clips of him talking to Nixon yeah. and Kennedy telling them what to do, and you stand over here and you do that. That's crazy.
I thought about calling Steve Benson to tell him I had this great idea for an editorial cartoon when Don Hewitt died. It's all over. Don goes up to the pearly gates, and the first person he's met by is Richard Nixon. And Nixon just looks at him and said, you know, I should have listened to you and worn makeup in that debate.
You know, you should call him with that one.
Yeah.
You know, it would make a nice cartoon.
Kind of hard to draw, but...
No, but, I mean, Nixon...
Because Nixon would be dead. Because Nixon would be dead, too. So now he really looks like hell.
Yeah. But, I mean, Nixon not wearing makeup changed the complexion of that presidential race.
Yeah, well, that and the fact that he was really hairy.
Well,
yeah, he said on there, on the thing last night, he said, probably need to shave.
Mm-hmm.
Nixon
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
When he was talking.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. Well, Nixon didn't get it. He probably never seen TV hardly.
But, you know, people that listen to it always said if you listen to it on radio, Nixon won. If you watch it on TV, Kennedy won.
Right.
Well, what about the main thing, though? You look at a guy like that and all the, I mean, tremendous work he did.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the news business today.
Oh. So disappointing.
It's pretty amazing how local news has changed, how the national news has changed, local radio, which mm-hmm. we've all been involved in. Seems to be pretty much in the dumper. You know, what's newspapers going, you know, down the tube?
I was thinking
right
that today because I was watching CNN. I came home from a trip and I just throw it on when I'm getting ready and try to catch up on stuff that I missed. And middle of the day shows, these people who have 2 hours and it's allegedly a news program.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about 5 or 6 things that are very light. I mean, it's not the Afghan war. It's not healthcare. It's some piece of video that they go ad nauseum for 25 minutes
right.
on. And
Michelle
then
Obama shorts.
Stupid shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's important. And then they go and then they read the story and then they look at the camera and they go, I mean, what? And they opine for 10, 15 minutes. It's unintelligent. It's unimpressive. And then they shoot to, oh, and we've got the Cafferty file next. And Jack, what do you think? And
asshole.
Then he says, well, I think. And then they go back and forth. totally the biggest
terrible.
Waste of time
waste
I have ever seen in my whole life. I think, you know, CNN used
channel?
To actually be. Yeah, I do.
My TV's got like a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, I know. No, I only get the one.
Weird.
I only get the one.
Yeah,
but I watch it sometimes because it is so bad. I watch it sometimes because it is so bad.
CNN still has some quality people. Like Candy Crowley, I think, is one of the best political reporters
and
in the country.
Cute.
Yeah, but you know what? Candy is the type of person I'll sit there when she's doing a report because I know she knows exactly what she's talking about. And I credit CNN. They have probably the most creative reporter in broadcast journalism in Jeannie Moss. I love
God, her stuff is hilarious.
Yeah,
no, you're right.
That's fine.
You know, I like Wolf Blitzer. I think Wolf is, you know, pretty solid down the middle. And I think John King does a good job. But, you know, those are the exceptions, not the rule. And that's a shame.
Whatever happened to reporting the news, not creating
the
news.
And not commenting on it.
Tell me what you think. I don't care what you think.
You know what? Watch. I do this. I watch MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. Mm-hmm. I'll watch an hour of each one of them on the same day, the same news day.
Right.
So they all have access to the same thing.
Right.
And just watch. You can see why if people are on the right and all they watch is Fox,
right.
or if you're on the left and all you watch is MSNBC,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Why you think the other side's idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Right. It's like three different planets.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like, are you kidding me?
And CNN trying to go up the middle, which I would think you could make work. They're in the dumper in the ratings.
Right.
MSNBC's passed them now.
Yeah, part of the problem, I think, that happened with news, and it happened about 25, 30 years ago, is when the news business and the entertainment business kind of crossed paths, and executives realized, wait a minute, we can make money with news. Let's make it entertaining, and let's go for that audience, rather than doing the public service that news was up until, you know, like, say, in the
What about here locally? What about the my wife got out of the news business, really in the nick of time.
And she was a quality journalist, too.
Right. Well, it's one of the real sticking points for her that she had. I remember the day she decided she was definitely going to get out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a classic. It was Newt Gingrich had announced that he was resigning from Congress, not just as Speaker of the House. He's resigning from Congress. Now and it was a shocker, right? I mean, some pressure on him to step down as Speaker. People didn't think he would do that. He just dropped out.
Right.
I mean, you have one of the biggest leaders, you know, third in line for the presidency. Blah, blah, blah. The debate she got in with her news director was whether that should be the lead or not, and he insisted and won that the lead would be that Ruby the elephant at Phoenix Zoo had died that day. And she could not win that debate. And by the way,
both elephant stories.
The
good call.
Good point.
The other stations all led with Ruby
one
the elephant
dying,
too.
One dying, one.
So the minority view was Marlene's view, and that just, you know, and not to be some sort of, you know, big purist on things, but and not that Ruby the elephant dying wasn't a story.
Very
it was
sad.
A story. But it wasn't the lead story. It was not the lead, and they didn't even. And so when they finally got it out there, that was like the third or fourth story.
Right.
Now, of course, you know, she went over to KCBS, which at the time was the king in L.A. of if it bleeds, it leads. And I mean, they did all crime and car wrecks and all that. Now KCBS is like every other station because they've all adopted that, including here in Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
It's all murders and car wrecks and gore, pretty much. I mean, we have this unbelievable budget stalemate going on.
Perfect example.
You're going to have the ramifications on that. You could do a story on every day of what's going on there.
But if you only watch TV, you wouldn't even know that it was happening. You would not know that it was going on.
If you watched local news, I don't care what channel it is, if you watched local news in Phoenix, Arizona, and that's all your experience was, you would never go outside your house.
No.
Because you would think it is mayhem.
Going
out
to get
there.
Shot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm
going
to get shot.
Going to get shot. My house is going to burn down.
Something.
If Ruby died today, she'd have to be gunned down in a gang style war.
Right.
Just to make the newscast.
Right.
And I've often thought it'd be fun and bad to do this, but an ambush type interview. And I still have a lot of friends in journalism here in this town, but a lot of the newer people here in town or something like that, just go up to them and on the street, just casually say, hey, I want to ask you a couple of questions about the news. Who's Kirk Adams? Can you identify that? Or who's the state treasurer right now? And just see what kind of answers.
How about a little bit of history? How about who's Paul Fannin?
Yeah.
I guarantee you they wouldn't know.
No, you don't want to. You don't want to do that.
Governor, senator, it would depress you.
It would. I mean, there are still
Do your jaywalking thing. Only do it with the reporters.
Exactly. There are still some quality reporters like Frank Macho, Frank's great. Linda Williams,
and
Steve Kraft.
I think the anchors here are very good.
Yeah, John Hook, awesome.
You got some great anchors. Channel 12's anchors are great. You got anchors at 5 and 10 that are. Yeah, they're really good, but so what?
Well, I know.
I'll give you a perfect example, and it's more locally for me than it is anything else. But up, I live near Central and Indian School here in town. There is a three-block area between Central and 3rd Avenue right now that faces Indian School. There was an old strip shopping mall. That's a three-block area that has just been torn down. I was kind of curious. All right, what's happening in my neighborhood? Am I getting a new strip shopping center? Their office building's going up, whatever.
Band-Aids?
You know, a multi-Band-Aids complex, whatever. So I thought, I'm going to try to find out what's happening. I called Tom Simplot's office. They don't know. You've got a three-block area of the city that's being torn down, and nobody knows what's going on there. You know, that's kind of like prime real estate.
Yeah, they know Anquan Boldin's not happy with his contract.
Yeah, well, I thought I saw him out there with one of the bulldozers the other day. But it's just amazing. Yeah. I mean, those are things that at least have some community interest. I would rather know about that than the accident that occurred at Central and Indian School. Unless, you know, they knock over a light rail train and, you know, 50 people die or something like that. That's, but, I mean, the typical fender bender or something like that.
Who cares?
And the other thing, and this is going to sound terrible of me to say it.
Child drownings?
Yes.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, it's
How about
tragic.
An almost drowning?
It's sad.
Drowning's
I'm sorry for
thing.
The parents.
How about an almost drowning?
I wish you the best, but it doesn't affect me. I mean, a shooting, a robbery.
Was it? Is it all about Clausen?
No.
It's all about Steve.
No,
this is a new?
No.
This is
seconds is too much.
But how long have we been hearing that? It still happens every day. I mean,
would anyone like to?
It's all about Clausen.
How does this
affect Steve Clausen?
Absolutely.
That should be
the number one test of newsworthiness. How would Steve? What would Steve's do?
Yeah,
I would like to disassociate myself from those remarks.
No, but I mean,
I care about all drowned children.
Doesn't affect me.
No, I care about kids, but it doesn't in the overall scheme. I'd rather hear about the state budget, how it's going to affect everybody in the state, rather than
just the poor dead 2-year-old. Wow.
Yeah. That's one less kid we'll have to feed in school.
I know that sounds cruel, but. It just, you know, it's like the car accident, it's the shooting.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with drowning is newsworthy, car accident
Here's what's
not.
Depressing.
No car accident.
You could walk up to,
why is drowning newsworthy?
Because you have to get awareness out and so that the next one might not happen.
And haven't we done that for as long as I've been in town?
2 seconds.
Jesus Christ.
Well, how long have you been in town?
20 years.
Around what about the people that just moved here and they don't stop and think that?
It's a bad argument.
Yeah, I just
tell you, you picked a loser. This, I know.
That's fine. Beat up on me. I don't care.
Have Benson do a cartoon about that, too.
I will.
Two. Two news stories are
That's
too
a guy
much.
Who gets in trouble with cartoons every now and then.
Okay.
Way, let's go out on the street. Let's go out on the street and ask people who Jan Brewer is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then say, how many of the Kardashian kids can you name?
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
More people will know that.
Of course.
Because Jan Brewer doesn't have that big, sweet ass.
Hey, as long as you're making suggestions.
How do you know?
Can I make a suggestion to the Arizona Republic? I love Steve Benson. I read the paper online now. Why don't every day you post his cartoon on AZ Central, where it's easy to find right up front? I love Benson's cartoons, but just post them. Don't make me dig through the newspaper to try and find it.
They're trying to keep the newspaper afloat.
Yeah, really.
Let's make it easier.
Well, they're not doing a very good job of it.
It is the worst,
don't say float.
Man.
You know what I say? Let the newspapers go.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't affect me.
Me neither. They're drowning.
No, that does affect you.
No, it doesn't.
No, because we're seeing this now with journalism. No.
Unless you're going to throw me a newspaper when I'm drowning.
No, but the mere fact that the newspapers are not out there watching it, doing things like they have used that they have done in the past, it is going to be bad for public policy.
Investigators.
When I was in office, there were like 20 of them.
Everywhere you went. Yeah. Now there's nothing. It pisses me off.
Budget cutbacks.
Do you realize how Watergate might be different today if Watergate happened in today's society? You know, you'd have the 24-hour news networks. Woodward and Bernstein, it's like, it was a burglary. Who cares? Drop it.
Well, times change.
I think the opposite.
It'd be on YouTube,
I think it would have been
man.
Out there quicker. Yeah. It would have been out there quicker, I think, yeah. But we had the deal here a couple of weeks ago where the speculation about me running for governor, where someone Twittered on it at 9:35. And Channel 5 called me at 9:45, mm-hmm. and at 10:05, it was breaking news.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty, from a Twitter.
Wow.
Yeah.
and I got to say this about the news business. I appreciate the new technology, and we can all move a lot faster. But on some of these stories, you need to take a little more time.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we run in this 24-hour news cycle, and it's damning in a lot of ways. You need to actually,
how about some sources?
How about finding some actual facts? Right. How about actually going out, reading the bills, reading the legislation?
Yeah, not the rumors.
You know, just rather than, yay, this is happening.
Well, and, which brings us back full circle to 60 Minutes, because
we spent 60 minutes
Don
on that.
Don Hewitt was, I mean, it was really pretty phenomenal. And I got to do I did two stories. I was on 60 Minutes. I've been on 60 Minutes three times on stories. And twice with Mike Wallace, and then another time with Mike Wallace where it didn't, my part didn't run, which was an interesting deal because it was about McCain. This is like in 2000, whenever McCain was getting ready to run for president.
Yeah, because I sat in for Mike Wallace for that interview.
What?
Remember when you did the interview, they had to do it with the empty chair and you were looking at me?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. No, not that.
Oh,
no, Mike Wallace was there, believe me.
Oh, okay.
Because he was grilling me on McCain. It was all negative.
There was another one I did where
and at the time, I was... no, it wasn't 60 Minutes. No, the Mike Wallace thing, it was very uncomfortable because, well, one, even though we had a good relationship, I was not getting along with McCain at the time, and so he was there to get me to say something negative about McCain, basically, and he asked me three or four real zingers. Three, actually, because I remember all three of them. And they were really tough, horrible questions.
Cutest old guy
And
ever.
I defended McCain on all of them and gave the good answers. And I thought, holy shit. Even though I wasn't getting along with McCain, I got the word to him. I called his guy and said, hey, here's the questions he asked me, because he was going to interview McCain the next day. And that wasn't good. And just so he's ready. And so he was ready. And the piece came out, and there wasn't a negative word in it. If you remember, Mike Wallace, it was people thought, what's with this guy? And he goes,
right.
I don't know. You know, I tried to get some negative stuff, but I just love this guy. Now, what if I would have said something negative? I would have been the real
jerk. You'd have been the lone, wow.
Yeah,
lone voice of dissent.
Lone voice. That would have been nice, you know.
No, that was.
And by the way, McCain never called and said, hey, you know, thanks a lot or anything. You know, the feud continued on his part for another many years. But the first deal we did on 60 Minutes was just people who were ripping off the elderly. I don't know if you remember this, but we had Mike Wallace was out in Sun City. We had a gas station there because we had this when I got there, we did it for the whole 8 years. We took old people. We took retirees. They were old.
Senior citizens.
And they could volunteer and help us on the consumer cases. And one of the ways they helped us was they would just go out and, you know, pose as consumers and stuff. We'd see how they were treated. And, you know, they were trying to rip off old ladies all the time. So we just popped people right and left on that. And this one lady was great. We called her Grambo. And so we sent Grambo out.
Oh,
Mike Wallace was waiting. You know, we were filming unbeknownst to everybody. And we had brand new tires. We put on a car, cruised around the dirt to get them dirty, pulled up to the gas station. It was a 76 station in Sun City, and Grambo got out and goes, hey, can you put some gas in it? And it seems a little funny. It's driving a little funny. Can you just check the tires? Then I'm going to go over here and do a little shopping. She came back, four new tires. Those tires had like 50 miles on them at the most, you know.
That's great.
And so when the guy said, oh, we had to put those on, out of the blue, here comes Mike Wallace.
Wow. This
classic.
Is a bad day.
Why would you try to sell her? Why would you put new tires in her car? They're brand new. You were just ripping her off. The guy about had a heart attack.
You know what? Right. I don't even care about that. It doesn't affect me. Really, when
you're
you break
right.
It
doesn't
down.
Actually. It does not affect you.
It's the me generation.
So he was great. He was awesome.
He came for tobacco too.
He did come for tobacco, so that's another one.
And his goofy producer, Tom.
Oh, no, he's a good guy. Yeah. I like that guy. I was on with James Hamm on the James Hamm story.
Right.
James Hamm is this prisoner who he murdered a guy and went to prison. And while he's in prison, he got his GED, and then he got accepted to the law school. And I was kind of helping fight to keep him out of the state bar from, you know,
letting him
be a lawyer. And so he came out here on that. Now, on that one, I didn't know how that was going to go. because you could take either side of that debate.
Which side did you take?
I took the keep him out.
You can't be a lawyer.
I didn't want him to be a lawyer. And so it was with some trepidation that I tuned in that night because I did. I could have
been. You don't know which way it's going to come out.
It was totally on our side. Wallace was totally with us, so that was cool. Tobacco, I'm trying to remember what he did.
I can't remember.
Do something on tobacco.
Yeah,
you also did something with your buddy Don Siegelman.
Yeah, Siegelman. We were on there last year. Was it last year? Yeah, early last year.
You're like a 60 Minutes icon.
Yeah.
That was a big 60 Minutes piece, and that was with Scott Paley, and he's great. He was really good.
You're the reason 60 Minutes was such a success over the years.
That's a lot of stories when you think about it.
It is.
It's four stories in 40 years, every decade.
I did mine for this.
Now, did you ever meet Don Hewitt or talk to him?
No. Well, I went there one time. For some reason, they had me go up, and I'd get to meet most of the guys. I remember that because in New York. They interviewed me there for something. But I think I met him there. I think he was walking around everything. It was
funny.
Mike Wallace every time. Morley Safer did some deal also one time, but I don't remember what that was.
We did
a lot of stuff with 60 Minutes over the
years.
His funeral was just the other day, and it lasted exactly 60 minutes.
Did it? Yep. That's perfect. That's beautiful. Aww.
And he looks better than Andy Rooney does.
Why don't they get rid of that guy, honestly?
Wow. Did you ever notice how...
It's horrible.
I just want to say that.
No, but I don't get it. That's
dude, I can't get past the eye thing.
The eyebrows, yeah.
You know,
like caterpillars.
Not even knocking him necessarily. You can't do that many of those bits every week and not just run out of material. Oh, speaking of which...
You know what, though? He said...
We have the Woody.
Very enlightening.
Where's Woody?
He said he met Don back in... the war when they were doing
which one? Right.
World War One.
Civil War.
Civil War.
No, but they were actually writing together for the Stars and Stripes or whatever.
Yeah, right.
And I think it's one of these deals where you drag your buddy along with you.
Well, maybe he's out now.
I think it was a week or two ago that Andy Rooney's piece was on the beauty of rubber bands, one of the greatest inventions ever.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's the same deal. Okay. Along the same lines, you see Reader's Digest declared bankruptcy over the weekend or something.
Wow.
Yeah. Well.
Was it a shortened version?
Well, why?
It's condensed version.
Chapter one.
Condensed.
Chapter two, yeah.
There was a joke in the middle of it.
No.
Mark's going to work on it.
Life in these United States.
Life in these United States. The worst. That's something. Okay,
humor
maybe
in
its day, which was like 1953, that, like today, who reads that?
Exactly.
Who reads it? You got to be 90 in the big print. Same thing with Andy Rooney. Who thinks that's funny?
Yeah.
By the way, when I was in Italy, I Twittered, Facebooked this thing, which got about half the people hacked off who wrote in, that, you know, in Rome, it's Leonardo da Vinci Airport.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty great, pretty cool. And in the U.S., we have Bob Hope Airport, John Wayne Airport. That's weak.
John Wayne's pretty cool.
Not really. John Wayne is fake. He's not. That, he was not a real cowboy. I don't know if you knew that.
No, well, I
that
know. He wasn't a real cowboy. He was a real actor.
How about you?
Was he?
How about you go to Philadelphia? I was just in Philly, and they got the big Stallone statue out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, hey, guys.
Okay, that is
fake. But what if they named it Sylvester Stallone Airport? That's what I'm saying.
It's the best thing Philly ever had to happen to
him. Bob Hope.
No, I know.
Bob Hope. Did you think he was funny?
No.
Comedian?
Never.
Never?
No.
Watch the guy. I bet I watched him 50,000 times.
Waiting for that first laugh.
Grinned once, maybe. Yeah. I mean, absolutely horrible.
Thanks
maybe
for the
a grin. Maybe one chortle. That is it. In friggin' airport. And I'm not saying it all has to be highbrow Leonardo da Vinci.
But it's the airport in Burbank.
Johnny Carson I could go for. He was funny.
Carson would have been a
good downtown Burbank.
Airport.
Yeah. That was
I think they have a park
good.
Name for Carson in Burbank.
Park. That's it. He gets a park. That's
George Michael
thing,
should get
way.
A park. Actually, George Michael should get a park bathroom.
By the way, sure.
Well, you know where he got busted was at the Will Rogers Park.
Yeah?
That's where George Michael did the indecent exposure
really?
In the bathroom thing.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's true.
It's George Will Rogers State Park in California.
And what's Will Rogers?
What is his motto?
Never met a man
I didn't like. I mean, how appropriate that George Michael would be flashing the prunes to somebody.
True.
In that.
That can't be good.
You know what, though? But they busted George Michael for that. I didn't even care. It didn't affect me at all.
I could care less either.
Could care less.
Wow.
Yeah.
By the way.
How do you feel about 9/11?
By the way,
because you weren't in New York.
No, 9/11 affected us.
You care less.
It affected
everyone.
By the way,
it affected the globe.
He was not hit by any flying buildings.
By the way, I have a pet peeve with
that. What if it was in Phoenix? Well, one of my
I wasn't out that day.
Why you didn't strip the light ring?
No, if you go home tonight and hear about a shooting in Mesa,
I agree. I don't care.
Okay,
I'm with you on that.
Can I tell you what Clausen's dream day would be?
Yes,
doing fantasy football with Barack Obama on the light rail.
Can you arrange
wow.
that? I did my draft this week, and I'm all done.
Watching
now.
The View, mm-hmm. and then having
Sitting
a fly walking
Larry
off.
King.
Don't you wish you would have known about that?
Did
for
you
your
ever wow. fly walk?
Don't try
you
that at
off.
Home, sir. Yeah. So you can injure yourself. Okay, let's do
Speaking
this.
Speaking of, Woody. Woody's kind of warm. Where's he been?
I don't know. It's between your legs
it's
right
really
now.
Kind of toasty.
Okay. Isn't he?
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Don't get me in trouble.
I'm not saying
now, this may be one of your heroes, Steve.
Uh-oh.
I hope not. It's a politician. You may love this guy.
I love all politicians.
Ready.
Okay. This week's Woody goes to Senator Arlen Specter. If you look up the definition of the word specter in the dictionary, you get, one, a ghostly appearing figure, and two,
check.
An unpleasant or menacing vision. If you add the word Arlen, you get, one, a ghostly appearing and unpleasant weasel. Senator Specter is one of the top 80 reasons for term limits currently walking or hobbling around the Senate floor. He has got
wow.
to go. Specter was never any great shakes as a senator, but he did seem brighter than most for a while there and had at least a little common sense. But that was a long time ago. Nowadays, he's almost exhibit A of why people think politicians are opportunistic clowns who can't be trusted and don't deserve to be respected. He switched parties this year and admitted it was only because he couldn't get elected anymore as a Republican. He was now a committed Democrat, except he really wasn't. He was just trying desperately to do whatever it took to stay at his cushy job. Truly a pathetic character. Now, he has taken at least four or five different sides of the health care debate. He has concerns about the public option, but thinks we might need it, but maybe we won't, but probably we do, or maybe we should just take this thing one step at a time. But you do have to seize opportunities when they present themselves. But there is something to be said for taking what you can get, not biting off more than you can chew, but maybe just go for it, or maybe not right now, but if not now, when? And he was on Face the Nation Sunday saying it would be simply wrong to try to pass health care reform as a budget resolution requiring only 51 instead of 60 votes. He prefers to do it the right way. Couldn't support such a move at all, unless it was down to the very last minute and there was a real alternative, in which case he might consider it. Weasel! Dear Senator Specter, please, for God's sake, hang it up. It's all gone. Whatever you once had has now left the building. To see you bobbing and weaving and doing whatever you can to try to squeeze out a few more votes is absolutely pathetic. Stop it! Senator Arlen Specter gets a Woody.
For the first time in 30 years.
Yeah.
Remember how excited the Democrats were when he went over to the side? And now they're like,
loser.
Oh, shit. Can you take him back?
Really? Can we? I save the receipt.
I had some awkward moments with him, actually.
Wow.
Yes. In many
that handshake in the restroom thing?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I didn't know the foot, the white stance. No.
Doing the hokey pokey.
No, it wasn't that.
That's gross.
He called me up whenever it would have been. When was Clinton running for re-election?
96.
Yeah. So it was in 96. And they said, Senator Arlen Specter's on the line. I said, okay, that's on.
Okay.
Okay, so I get on.
Does he have the right number?
Hello, Senator. great. Yeah. Anyway, he asked me if I would consider being his chairman in Arizona for his presidential race.
Oh, God.
I said, what? I didn't know he's running for president. But, you know, it's awkward. So what do you so I said, well, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, strike right. up the band, danced around it, you know, for a while. And then, hey, well, you know, let me just think that over and we'll get back to you. And can I call you next week on that, Grant? Sure, Senator. You know, and anyway, this went on for a while. And then, thank God. Bob Dole called
right.
because I could get out of that. But
did
it was awkward. But
no, did he call because you have the background in law? He was a DA or prosecutor?
Yeah, he was
prosecutor.
A DA.
Yeah.
No, I think what had happened was McCain had rounded up every Republican to be for Phil Graham for president.
Oh, yeah.
This is another thing.
He had charisma.
Well, and then I was quoted in the paper saying, I wouldn't vote for Phil Graham for city council, much less president. So what the hell? Why would I sign up for that? Well, but Senator McCain said, well, whatever. Last time I checked, I can pick who I want to. No disrespect to John, but president? Don't I get a vote for whoever I want? I thought I did, and I'm not voting for that guy. So would you vote for Clinton over him? Yes.
Yeah.
I would. And I don't plan on voting for Clinton, and I didn't vote for Clinton. But Bill Graham?
Yeah.
No way. So anyway.
Lou Graham.
The point is, there was no one left except me. So if you weren't Phil Graham and you wanted someone to be your Arizona chairman, I was pretty much it. Me and Skip Remsa.
Oh yeah.
We were the only two, and we both ended up going for Dole.
Team.
Phil Graham didn't even make
it
to the first primary, did he?
Oh, he got smoked.
Yeah.
He was another John Connolly type. Spent a ton of money and got no votes, but why would he?
I covered a couple of his rallies. I'm going like, you folks can't be serious.
No, you can't be serious.
Weenie was the word that came to mind when you saw him on stage.
Yeah.
Because he's got that kind of whine. Hey, and it's like there's got to be somebody better than this.
Oh, well, he's...
Dr. Phil.
By the way, we were right. We were right because if you notice, let's just go back in the McCain campaign this year, or, you know, last year, he's the one who pronounced that people were just a bunch of whiners and the economic system was totally sound.
Yeah.
This was like 30 days before everything crashed.
So. Yeah, that was a YouTube moment at an editorial board that never should have happened.
Right?
It was.
Remember that?
Yeah, he goes, Americans, they're just a bunch of whiners. There's nothing wrong with the economy.
Not a thing wrong with the economy.
It's like, dude, you're not living in the real world.
Nice work.
That one.
And that's your top economic advisor.
You can see Brokers jumping out of windows behind him as he's speaking.
And then he didn't really apologize for saying Americans were whiners. You know, it's like
he kind of defended it. Finally, they had to cut him loose, or they did. And the thing is, and so you go, okay, but he's a really nice guy. And I never found him to be a really nice guy either. One time, I went to the only. I'll give him credit for one thing. I went to the Republican convention in 1984 with John McCain, and because McCain was going to speak, he was a first-term congressman. They asked him to speak. It was really cool. I flew down to that was a whole another story, by the way, some people you know. I flew in just to help him with his speech, McCain with his speech, and I rolled in and I got there late. They were going to practice in the morning, and so the night before I get there, and as I'm walking in, John Colby and I think Rob Harris's dad, Don Harris, that's ringing a bell. I think Don was one. Yes. And Rob's sitting here. And a couple other reporters were there. And they were going out. And they go, hey, you know, we're going down to Pat Mike's, okay? At home of the hurricane.
Yeah,
which, by the way, I didn't even, again, you know, grew up in Mesa. Didn't even know what a hurricane was. So we go down there, and it's like dueling pianos and this thing and everything. And so you're like, everyone's down in these friggin' hurricanes. I didn't know. You're not supposed to down three or four of them, you know.
Wow.
And we get back, and when there was like a trolley or something, and I remember, I won't say anything about your dad, Rob, because I think he snuck off first. But I remember John Colby got off the trolley right in front of me and stumbled, and I thought, in my mind, clearly, I said, that guy is drunk. What a goof. And then I almost fell right on my face. And the next thing I knew, the next morning, phone's ringing, and thank God I woke up. I went there all the way there just for this, right? Boy, where the hell are you, boy? What the hell?
I got hit by a hurricane.
Just get down here. Get down here. I couldn't find my contacts. So there's McCain stewing in the lobby. I can't find my contacts. And I have no idea what happened to him.
And your job is to help him make a speech.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my God.
But I
jump.
Had some, like, Coke bottle glasses from, like, 1978, you know, they're horrible. And I said, I can't wear these. It's humiliating. You know, I'm going to see people. I had no choice. I was blind. I pop them on. I walk down there, and McCain's like, what the hell's wrong with you, boy? I said, please, don't ask.
Not so, anyway, so loud.
And when we walked in, what I remember, this is the only time I ever liked the guy. When we walked into the little room where we were going to work on the speech with the teleprompter and everything, Phil Graham was walking out. And so he stood next to me for a second. I said, well, how'd your speech go, Senator? He goes, well, I don't know. I'm not happy. I said, why not? He goes, they took out every shit and dam.
Oh, God.
Well, okay. That was a funny line.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you how hungover Grant was. He showed up in rubber cement finishing boots.
You know what's funny? from that experience, like a few years later when I'm Attorney General, something was going, I don't know, there were rumors I was going to run for something, you know, other than Attorney General. And Colby mentioned, it just blew me away, Colby mentions in a column, well, you know, he would be a very strong candidate and blah, 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 all these positives. One possible negative that's never emerged is he has a reputation as quite a partier.
What?
Which is complete bullshit, yeah. By the way.
That's like my once a year.
Yeah. You know, hardly ever drink any. But I thought, why would he write that? And then, it was that night.
You're the one that fell off the trolley, jackass. That's right.
It was that. That's what he thought.
Can't hold your hurricanes. Because,
yeah.
I went to Grant's house for a New Year's Eve party once and broke up about 11.
Oh.
He's a wild.
You know what they have at the Phoenix Country Club? This is weak. I shouldn't have mentioned it now that I think about it. No, you get an invitation, and they have a normal New Year's Eve party. I've never been to these, but they have a normal New Year's Eve party, and then they send a special flyer, or you can go to the East Coast New Year's Eve party.
They celebrate it at 10.
At 10.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I thought, when I'm going to the East Coast New Year's Eve party, because I can't stay up till midnight.
Why not go to the London, England New Year's Eve party? Do it at 4:30 in the afternoon.
Exactly.
Finish time. God damn, that's a party.
Yeah. Woo!
4:30.
Well, you spent the afternoon at Luby's.
Yeah. I never knew it was possible to have an early bird special for New Year's
Eve.
They do. They do.
Because I was like, what is this New York thing? They go,
10.
Yeah, it is a 10. That's weird.
Wow. He does have a reputation for being
quite a
party.
They're in a separate room. We keep them in the dark.
When I read that, I was like, are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. All people. Another thing that happened to me that was
funny. He's had more
like
hurricanes in New Orleans.
Hey, what the hell? And I had that, by the way, the McCains. Afterwards, I did fly back with them, and I, like an idiot, but I had them from the night before. I had the glasses.
Oh, the silver glasses.
No, you did it. Clang.
Yeah, and he's like... Come on, man. That's like us.
The only ones in Mesa.
Idiots. Yeah, I know. Exactly. Oh, well, speaking of that, so when I ran for AG, we had our party down here, election night, at Tom's Tavern downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a cool place because back in the day, that's where all the lawyers used to hang out. After court, everybody would go there and all this sort of stuff. And so it was a good place to have it, right? I win the primary. But I still have a general to go, okay? And... big picture in the Mesa Tribune, my hometown, right? And it has me, and I have my daughter in my arms, this beautiful picture and all that. And says, Grant Wood celebrates at a Phoenix bar after his win. And of all places, Mesa.
It's a restaurant.
Yeah, it's a restaurant.
It
it's
is,
not a bar.
Yeah.
Just
wow.
Because the name is Tom's Tavern, it's not a bar. But in most places, no one would care. Mesa at a bar.
Oh, that's a big deal.
He's
yeah.
A drunk. But,
oh, yeah, he's a drunk.
He's a drunk.
He's a partier.
He's Otis Campbell.
Yeah, once every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Come on. I know, yeah. Tie one
right.
on.
So, is that it? Is that a show?
That's a show.
All right. Good to have you back, Mark.
Thank
Great
God.
To be
Yay.
Back. My pleasure.
All right. That's a show.